Well, find your Bibles and open them with me this morning to the book of Matthew. That's where we're going to be for the next couple of weeks. I want to, as you're finding Matthew there, I want to kind of take a moment and lay the groundwork here, kind of contextualize our passage this morning. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew, by the way, one of the original 12. This is an eyewitness account on his part. Matthew shares with us Christ's genealogy, talks to us about his birth. Chapter 2, you're well aware, he tells us about the visit of the wise men. Chapter 3, he talks about John the Baptist and kind of relates him back to the voice beckoning or reckoning of the Lord's coming, and then talks to us about Jesus' baptism. In chapter 4, he tells us about Christ's 40 days in the wilderness and how he was tempted out there in the wilderness. The next three chapters, chapters 5, 6, and 7, Matthew, who was there and listened, records for us Jesus' very first sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, in verses 8 and 9. Matthew describes the beginning of Jesus' ministry, the enlisting of his disciples. Now his disciples kind of followed along behind him and tagged along there and listened and kind of gave him some moral support. But their ministry up to this point had kind of been that of just kind of being with him, watching him, listening to him. But toward the end of the ninth chapter, in fact, at the end of the ninth chapter, everything changes. Everything takes a turn. This passage represents a significant shift in their ministry. This is a watershed moment for the 12 disciples. Let me just read it. You listen. Matthew chapter 9. Verse 35, I've explained to you all that's been going on. Then Jesus went to all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, healing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, and there were many of them, as he saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them because they were weary, worn out, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, these 12 men who've been following him, he said to his disciples, the harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest. From time to time, we see there in our passage, Jesus changes things. Jesus changed things dramatically for the disciples. Jesus redefined who they were. He redefined their mission, if you will. The entire 10th chapter, if you look at it, is Jesus' instructions. The whole chapter is devoted to his instructions on this change in the life and the change of the mission of his 12 disciples. Have you ever experienced this kind of a redefining moment in your life? I know you have. This kind of a refocusing, turn, redefining your mission in life. Like the time you got your first full-time job. You know, you went to bed the night before kind of footloose and fancy-free, not a lot of care, not a lot of concerns, but you woke up that first day on your full-time job a responsible person. You know? People now were depending on you. Scary, but same time, kind of cool. Or what about your wedding day? You know, you liked each other a lot. You had this whole thing going on. But truthfully, before that day, it was just you. But you wake up that day of your wedding, and now life belongs someone else. Kind of a rush. Or when you first became parents? When you first became parents, it was just the two of you? You remember how easy things were when it was just the two of you? But now it's three. And this third person is not very considerate. Not a very reasonable person. It's great, you wouldn't trade it for the world, but I mean a watershed moment has come in the lives of these disciples. Looking here at our passage. They are facing an exciting but redefining moment when Jesus turns and speaks to them. They're 100% alert because they know, son, something's changing today. He's speaking to us today like he's never spoken to us before. Redefining them. Refocusing their mission. And here's where I am as your pastor. I'm convinced that as a congregation, we've come to one of those defining moments today. Now, you know, I'm going to try to unfold this for you over the next month. Right now, just hear me. Having been here for 25 years and kind of been your under-shepherd for all this time, I'm just telling you, something is changing now. And I'm pumped. My task today is to kind of stay on the stage here and not just float over your heads. Jesus is changing things for us now. Well, over the next month, we're going to spend time talking about our new direction, our new devotion, our new decisions. But I want to begin this morning talking about our new definition. Our new definition. Just simply want us to recognize that from time to time, Jesus redefines our mission, and that time has come for us here today. So as we think this morning about our new definition, I want to begin with who we have been. You see, Jesus had redefined the disciples, but there's nothing in the passage to indicate that they stopped being who they were. They did not stop being who they were. They did not stop being who they'd been. What they had been was good, by the way. What they had been good. They were Jesus' followers. They had been Jesus' supporters. They had been Jesus' servants. And that was good. That's good. He was not asking them to stop being who they had been. He was simply adding on a new layer. Adding on a new layer to their role as disciples. I don't think Jesus wants us to stop being who we've been either. Same reason. Who we've been has been good. Who we have been has been very good. In fact, we've been visible here in Pflugerville. We're the largest church in the city. By number, by many measurements, we're the largest church in the city. We have the largest facility. You know, when people come driving east on Pecan Street here, have you ever done this at night? As you come east on Pflugerville, you know, we got the lights on the front of the building. Gosh, it looks otherworldly. It is nice. And that's kind of the influence we have here in the community. We're the largest congregation in the city. And for that reason, we've been influential. We've been the lead church. What we do influences all the other churches in town. I think our influence has been very positive. We have stood tall and prominent for Jesus and his moral values, and we've been a voice of salvation and holiness in the entire Central Texas area. And that's good. We've been educational. I don't think there's another organization in the town. probably, maybe in the Austin area, who has had more of an educational influence than First Baptist. That has kind of defined who we have been. From Sunday morning Bible studies to conferences and seminars and retreats and camps and mission trips. Man, there was a powerful women's conference this weekend. Have you heard? Well over 100, maybe 150. Shelly, how many were here? 125? That's huge. So we have all of these, great educational times and moments, and that's good. We never want to change that at all. And we've been helpful. We've structured several ministries that have been very positive and have had a positive impact on our community. Ministries like our food pantry, ministries like our backpack ministry, our grief share, our divorce care, our involvement in the Pregnancy Resource Center. Few churches have been more helpful in our community. In fact, no church, I don't think, has been more helpful in our community than First Baptist Church. And we need to acknowledge that and recognize that here this morning. So there's nothing at all wrong with who we've been. Just like with the disciples here, we're not going to stop being who we've been. We're simply going to add on a layer or layers. And in the adding on of this layer or layers, it's going to redefine who we are. We're going to be larger than we have been. As of this morning, I want us to think about who we have become. Who we've been good. Now I want us to talk about who we've become. And you're saying, well, Pastor, I haven't noticed becoming somebody new. Oh, yeah. Again, you don't pay as close attention to what's going on as I do. You don't pay as close attention to what the Holy Spirit's doing in our midst as I do and as the staff does. And I'm just telling you, we've become, while you were sleeping, we've become somebody new. Perhaps the language that can best help us understand what we've become would be to say that we have become FBC 2.0. We've become the latest generation of FBC. We've become the most recent generation of First Baptist. That means we're taking a fresh look at the Lord's mission for us out there in the subdivisions of Pflugerville. We're going to talk more about that next week. Next week. But we're also taking a fresh look at the way we present ourselves to all who come onto this campus for worship. And that's what I want to spend the next 20 minutes or so talking about, is our look and our life on this campus. To begin with, we want to have a more welcoming look. We want to present a warmer reception to worshipers as they enter. We want to give a great deal more attention to signage. Our signage needs to be more friendly, more helpful, more guiding, more noticeable. We've already kind of begun that. As you came in today, many of you came through the MPB and didn't notice, but if you came through the east or west doors, you see the signs out there? All of you came through the MPB, didn't you? We've got brand new signs out here as you come through the east or west door. Got our logo up there. You know, last week the sign said Information Center. It might as well have been Marine Corps Boot Camp, you know. Line up here, get information right here, you know. We've changed it now to Connection Center. You know, it's like saying, hey, if you want to get connected to the life of what's going on here, we've got a helpful information for you here. We're going to give a lot more attention to signage in the days and weeks to come. We'll also be serving coffee at both entrances. Did you notice that this morning? See, you've not responded to anything I've said until I mentioned coffee. First-time visitors can fill out this connection card. It's in the worship guide that you were given as you came through. They can fill out this connection card and take this connection card to one of the coffee areas there and turn this in, and they can get a coffee mug. Isn't that sweet? Got the logo on it, kind of an individualized coffee mug. You can't do this. You can't fill out the connection card because it has to have all this information on it, and we'll know that you're already a member. But new timers can come and they can get a new mug. By the way, let me make this request as you drink the coffee. By the way, drink the coffee before and between worship services. You're welcome to bring it into the worship center here as long as you have a connecting lid. I think that's Dazzle Coffee, by the way. The lid. So if you tip it over something, it won't spill. In fact, we'd like for you to have lids even out there. We just don't want you spilling coffee on everything. But you can bring it in here. Just don't bring open containers in here, okay? If you kick it over, our cleanup crew will seek me out and string me up. So let's be reasonable with those lids. We're also going to rename what we do here on Sunday morning. We're not going to call it Sunday school because it sounds too childlike. We're going to stop calling it adult fellowship groups or adult Bible studies because that sounds like master's degree teaching. You know what? Adult Bible study. If you don't know much about Scripture, you shouldn't come in here because this is for adult Bible study. We're going to rename it Grow Groups because no matter where you are in your pilgrimage, you can come in here and you can grow spiritually. And you probably got that notification this morning. Bulletins are new. Daniel pointed that out in the video this morning. Totally changed. The purpose has totally changed. Spend some time with the bulletins. They're much more informative. We want to provide more interactive worship. All of our announcements are going to be presented from this point forward using that video announcement time like we did this morning. That way we can time it. We can be concise. We can have a little bit of fun with it. Anybody coming in, we're hope is going to be impressed by and drawn to the video announcements. Worshipers will also be able to interact with sermons in real time through YouVersion Live. We've prepared a little video for that. Let's go ahead and play that now.
If you have a smartphone and you use it to read your Bible with, odds are you may be like millions of people across the world that already have the Bible app by YouVersion, and it's absolutely fantastic. If you don't have it, go ahead and take out your cell phone and open up your App Store or your Google Play Store and search Bible in your App Store. Go ahead, open it up, and go ahead and search Bible in your App Store. Once you find it, you should see an app that looks just like this. Go and click on it and download it onto your phone. It's not a large file, so it should be okay. But while you're downloading that, I'm going to play a short video clip that's going to show you just how awesome this Bible app really is.
This is the Bible. It's more than something you read, although you can do that too. But now, it can also read to you, show you timeless stories in a whole new way, or even help you share what you've learned with someone you know. Read, listen, watch, share. Now you can do all of that and more, because now the Bible is an app. Download it for free at bible.com/app.
Beyond all those amazing features you just saw in that video clip, the YouVersion Bible app also has some great reading plans and devotions you can find and search by topic or just theme or even age group. And it's a fantastic resource for you to check out. The feature that we're really excited about, though, is the YouVersion Live feature. And that feature basically lets you interact with the sermon while it's going on. And it's absolutely fantastic. So if you have your app open, go ahead and open it up. And right there at the top, or maybe in the bottom, you can find Live. Click on that Live feature, and in the search bar, you can search our zip code, 78660. If you search our zip code, 78660, our YouVersion Live should show up. And it should be under today's topic, which is On Mission, A New Definition. So search our zip code, 78660, and then you may have to scroll down a little bit, and then you'll find today's sermon, On Mission, A New Definition. And go and click on that, and you can find the interactive stuff there. What's particularly brilliant about the YouVersion Live feature is that now the sermon can be interactive. You can take a poll and see what the whole congregation thinks about something or answer a question that we might throw out there to you. You can also take notes while you follow along with the pastor's sermon and save them in your journal within the app itself. You can also submit prayer requests. It's a great way to participate in our faith community. And we'll also throw in some quick links in there for you to do online giving or maybe watch our one-minute walk-back video if you hadn't seen it yet. So it's a great way to engage with the sermon, and it's pretty cool. Well, now you can be on your phone and you can honestly say, I'm not texting, and not feel judged.
Well, we're looking forward to that too. We're also, and I'm kind of having to move quickly through these because limited for time, we want to have more social media presence, not just on Sunday, but through the week. We're so glad to have, as one of our number, Chad Bullard. Chad, back there, raise your hand. Come on, he's real bashful. There he is right over there. Chad has been working with our pastoral staff for several months now, helping us put together and program a brand new website. Now, the website won't be available till the last Sunday in February, February 28th, but we're able to show you what it's going to look like and what some of its functions are. Let's show them that video also.
Well, hey guys, this is our new website. I'm so excited to show it off to you guys. And right off the bat, you'll see the sliders in here have pictures from our church. You'll see community. You'll see stuff for kids and worship and teaching and youth and all that kind of stuff that we have going on here. That's just so awesome. Service or church that does stuff for people in our community. I think it's so important that people see that. You'll also see the service times for both services right there embedded in the graphics themselves. A nice big new here button. I'll get to that in a minute. You'll notice over here to the left that there's all the social media icons that people can connect with all of our social media things we post on there and see what God's doing at our church. Quick links to find location and calendar and how to contact us. And the mobile version on the phone, this is very mobile-friendly website, and if they click on the location, it'll open up their Google Maps or IMAPs or whatever. Well, they click on the contact us, it'll open up their phone app, and all that kind of stuff is really streamlined on the mobile version of this website. You scroll down, you can see the next sermon is right there, easy to find, and our social media feeds right here. And then as you scroll down a little bit more, you find announcements. Slides will be right here, very easy to find. And then some quick links down here at the bottom. Up here, if we go to the new here button, there's a few things we haven't put in here. We're gonna have a welcome video from the pastor showing clips around our church, just to give people a good idea of who we are and, man, why they should come check us out. And structured to really help them find out who we are quickly and to figure out what they need to know, and all our ministries will be organized here and they can find some quick links that way as well. And then you'll notice up at the top our website is structured with this sort of connect, grow, and go. The new bulletin that you have in your hands is also structured the same way, where we want people to kind of progress from connecting to getting deeper by growing, getting involved with small groups and grow groups, and going, getting involved locally and globally. So you'll see, you can find sermons here, all our different medias, a one-minute walkback, you'll be able to find those videos here, all the various information. Member Connect to log in is over there as well. That's a member registration. And then Grow is where you'll find all the different information about the various ministries, all the rest of the things as well. This is our new website. I'm not going to show it all to you. We're going to launch it here soon in a couple of weeks. But this is just to kind of get you excited about a great opportunity to be able to share what's going on in our church with the rest of the community.
As we move, yeah, that's good, yeah. As we move toward having more of a social media presence, we're going to do something else. Get out your smartphones. If you have a smartphone, get it out. Don't sit there with your arm crossed, chewing your gum, looking at me. Get out your smartphone. I'm going to start tweeting. Not during the worship service. There were some of the early crowd said, what? No, not during the worship service, but a number of times during the week, I'm going to send out tweets. And follow me. If you're going to hurt my feelings if you don't. So follow me. Follow me this morning. If you don't know how to do this, you go to your app store, download the Twitter logo there, and it'll kind of walk you through it. I'll tell you what, I'll do you one better. All of these students down here that have on the logo shirts like the one I'm wearing, they know how to do this. I'm going to have them stand out in the mall. And as I dismiss you today, go to one of them, hand them your smartphone and say, duh. Just hand them your smartphone and say, please do all this stuff, if you will, that the pastor talked about this morning. They've already done this once. They had many, many people come to them this morning. This is a ministry for them. I had people this morning ask me, can they be out there every Sunday? No, this is not the geek squad at Best Buy. These are just students willing to help this morning. Now, I'm going to send out my second official tweet just for you guys. Okay, you ready? Boom. You following me? You got it? You don't have it yet? It'll be, oh, you got one out there? Yay, okay, we got one coming. All right, you got me, all right. So we're going to be sending out tweets several times during the week. I'll comment perhaps on the sermon, perhaps on something that's going on in the congregation, perhaps on political events. But follow me, and we'll attempt to be a little bit more 21st century in our social media. I want us to give time and attention this morning to one other thing, and that is, as we think about FBC 2.0, let me just say this. We're going to make a more meaningful promise. Our promise is symbolized in our new slogan. Our new slogan is love big, live bold. Our promise is this. We will continue to boldly and unapologetically stand on the truths of Scripture. We will not waver. And we will not be silenced. That's the way we have been, and that's the way we will continue to be. Second, we will, in new and much larger ways than ever before, express Christ's unconditional love to the community of Pflugerville and beyond. And to remind us of this promise, you're going to see this slogan in virtually every publication, whether electronic or printed. We want this to always be before us, and we want to always be held accountable to the promise that we are going to love big and live bold. Hold us to it. The disciples as a group accepted Jesus' new mission. The disciples as a group, even before they heard it, they didn't know what the mission was until the 10th chapter, but even as a group, they were ready, as these 12 men, the group known as the disciples, they were ready to accept Jesus' new mission, even though they hadn't heard it. But I think it's important for us to understand today, they accepted the new mission as disciples because Simon Peter accepted it, Andrew personally accepted it, James accepted it, John accepted the new mission. Philip accepted the new mission. Bartholomew accepted it. Thomas accepted it. Matthew accepted it. James did. Thaddeus did. Simon. And for a while, Judas also. These men individually, personally, bought into and took ownership of Jesus' redefinition of who they were and what they were about as individuals. There are many more than 12 of us. There's a host of us. And I want two things. I want us as a congregation to step up and say, yes, Jesus, as First Baptist Church Pflugerville, we're going to continue being who we've always been, but we're going to ramp it up, and we're going to accept your redefinition. We're going to accept your new mission for us as a congregation. And you say, I haven't even heard it yet. Neither had the disciples heard it. They had a willingness to accept whatever his new redirection and mission statement was. But we can only do this if each and every one of us personally and individually steps up and says, Jesus, I don't know about the rest of them, but I accept your redefinition of me. I accept your new mission for me. Jesus, I'm going to step outside my comfort zone. Man, don't you know these guys were? These were fishermen who'd been following Jesus and taking care of business for him behind the scenes. But man, did they step out of their comfort zone today? And I'm challenging you and me to do the same thing. To say, Jesus, I know I'm facing a crowd, but you see my face. I know I'm one of many, but you know my heart. You know my mind. You know my walk. And Jesus, I personally and individually step up and stand up, and I am willing to accept your redefinition of me. I'm willing for you to give me a new mission in my life. You know what? Let me just say this. This is what following Christ is about. Do you know that? Jesus never had any intention of leaving us the way we were. Have you been operating under that false impression? And today, Jesus has, he has no inclination to leave us as individuals where we have been. Way to go, you've been good. But he has no intention of leaving us where we've been. It's his intention to redefine us many more times in our lifetime. It's his intention to redefine our mission many more times during our individual lifetimes. Do you know what Jesus says about newness? Revelation chapter 21, 5. Look, I make everything new. That's what he says. Look, just so you know, I'm in the new making business. Understand this, followers. I'm not going to leave you where you are, ever. Doesn't necessarily mean I'm disappointed with where you are, but I'm telling you, I'm going to make you new. And I'm going to do it again and again and again and again. I make everything new. You good with that? In your life? Pastor, I'm just not comfortable with this. None of us are comfortable with it. I'm not comfortable with it. I'm the guy at the front of the line. I'm really not comfortable with it. But are you good with it? You okay with it? As a congregation, we're going to move forward with being redefined. Please, as an individual, make it so. Make it so. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, we know it's true. We know it must be true. You make everything new. Every one of us here today, you're redefining us. To be somebody new, somebody we've not been before. And you're giving us new action points in our personal lives, a new mission statement. Today's the day. This is the moment. You're making us new. Make us new. Make us new. We invite you. Make us new. Make me new. Make us new. We'll not disappoint. You know how limited we are. You know how frail we are. You know how weak we are. You know how we stumble. But Lord, you took those 12 men and you turned the world upside down with them. Do the same with me. Do the same with us. Do the same with every individual here. Change us. Make us somebody new. Keep your head bowed for a moment. Let me ask you this. Has the day ever come in your life? You know, when you're just tired of it, just fed up, just worn out from the grind, from the mundane, from life. And have you ever just turned away from all that and said, I am so done with that. And just turned to Jesus and said, you know, Jesus, I don't know what it is you have, but I'm buying it. I'm following. I don't want that anymore. I want what you have to offer. I want your life. I want to be your follower. Have you ever done that? Do it now. Do it right now. Oh, Pastor, I don't know. You can trust him. I'm telling you. You can trust him. He's looking out for you. He's doing what's best for you. Challenging? Sure. Exciting? You bet. New? Oh, yeah. But it's the right thing to do. It's the thing that's missing in your life. Why don't you do it this morning? Turn to Christ Jesus right now. Cry out to him. Jesus, I'm leaving all that old stuff behind, and I'm going to follow you. I'm going to trust you and follow you. If you'll do that this morning, why don't you come down here to the front? It's not that scary. It's not that scary. Come on down here to the front. We have men and women who love people. They're trained as counselors. They want to pray with you, kind of help you with this. Will you come? Why don't you come just a moment? Or it may be that you've already done this and you've kind of drifted away and you recognize today is the day for you to come back. Why don't you come back and pray with somebody? It might be that you're looking for a church home and you've listened to this today and you thought, wow, I want in on that. I want to be a part of that. Will you come? Whatever it is the Lord is leading you to do, let's do this together. Let's do this together. Why don't you come? Lord and Savior, we hear you. We get it. We trust you. We're going to follow you. Draw us to you now, we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.